We're still here talking trees halfway through the hour with John Eisenhower, ISA certified arborist of Save a Tree. And John, during the break, before we jump to the next topic, you were talking about winter root activity. And for a majority of Arizona, the snowpack doesn't have a lot to do with our trees, but we do have affiliate and Flagstaff. A lot of our Phoenix, Tucson listeners have second home, cabin homes up in the mountains. Talk about the snow and the tree root. Just a recap of what we talked about in the break.
Yeah, the tree roots can be damaged by inclement weather and cold weather. They just like the other parts of the tree above ground can suffer damage. But the timing of that of snowfall in particular can be helpful or not. Sometimes an early foot of snow can actually provide an insulation layer and keep the ground relatively protected from the air temperatures, which are starting to drop in the winter. And it's been known to actually be a benefit to trees to get an early snow, because that snow layer will actually provide an insulation and keep the soil temperatures moderated. Whereas if there was no snow and the temperatures plummet, sometimes the surface soil and the roots directly below it can be damaged. So interesting that a little bit of snow actually early in the season can be a help in terms of promoting or at least prolonging that root activity that we talked about in the last segment. You want that to continue as long into the fall and winter as you can. And as the temperatures are dropping, that root activity is going to slow down. So the longer you can kind of keep that soil nice and warm, relatively speaking, that root activity will continue as well.
And in that last segment, you talked about a term, mortality spiral. And when is it time to remove a tree? How do you know? The best time to plant a tree was 25 years ago, but every tree has a season and a life, and sometimes, unfortunately, we get to the end of that. How do you know that it might be time to replace an existing tree or remove an existing one?
Yeah, when we're out on properties, there are times where we see trees that are in such bad condition that we don't want to invest any more time and expense in maintaining them. And you do have to, a trained eye will be able to make some of those determinations. Is it possible to pull a tree out of a mortality spiral? Some of our listeners have citrus trees that are older. Maybe some of them are 70, 80, even 100 years old. Some of the old orchard trees have phytophthora and other pathogens they're fighting, and the top starts to die back. You get a little bit of sunburn. You get some gamosis and leaf drop. And at some point, you know, you have to make a decision. Is it possible to pull those trees out of this mortality spiral? Are there nutritional things we can do to improve the soil conditions and give those trees another lease on life? And it is on a case-by-case basis that we make those decisions every day. But sometimes, as you said, trees do have a reason and a season. And unfortunately, sometimes that reason and season expire, and it's time to move on and think about maybe putting another tree in and enjoying it as it grows up and into a new landscape. When we're doing some consulting on construction projects, we're often asked to come in and make recommendations on whether they should retain trees on a construction project. And we routinely are recommending that some of the more mature trees that are senescing and are moving toward the end of their lives, that they actually not be kept. Even though they're beautiful specimen trees, sometimes the chances of them surviving a construction project are so low that it wouldn't be worth investing all the time to try to preserve them through the construction project, just to have them die within a year or two after the project, and then you have a big void in the landscape. What we often do is recommend retaining the trees that are kind of in their teenage years, so to speak, so they can grow up into the landscape and become part of the maturing new landscape. Rather than having an older tree decline and senesce and become an eyesore in a new landscape. So there are times you just have to know when to make those decisions, and there are other times when trees become hazardous or they're just they've outgrown their landscape to the point where they're starting to disrupt the hardscape. They're breaking your block wall, they're lifting the sidewalk, your pavers, your driveway, and maybe it was a tree out of place. It wasn't the right tree for that location, and there are other trees that are just simply nuisance trees because they're dumping some sort of litter or some fruit, and becoming such a problem that way that they're not worth the maintenance or the headache to maintain them in the landscape. And those are the kind of things we look at when we're making those assessments, and we try to help our customers come to those decisions and make a good decision. Sometimes it's worth it to live with a larger tree. We have one that's growing right on our property line. It broke the common wall between ours and the neighbor next door. So we just took the wall down and pushed it into our neighbor's yard 2 or 3 feet and built around it.
With your neighbor's consent.
With our neighbor's consent because we both love the tree. It's too big and glorious. Now the roots that was 10 years ago. Now the roots have destroyed that little
partition
Wall we built out around it. It's got a big crack in it as well, but we're still living with it and enjoying that tree a few more years. And
well, and that, you know, if you ever go to resell it, a majestic tree like that's going to add a lot more to the property value than a wall.
Yeah, but it does raise an issue. It became an exception on the title when we purchased the house. So now I do have to negotiate that with any seller of my home because it'll have to be tied in with an agreement with any new neighbor that would come along. And so far, so good. We're haven't faced that yet. But yeah, there are some issues with property line trees.
So on a monster tree like that, you know, at the time it is removal time, that's, I would imagine where you're at, you know, that's not something just anybody can go get a chainsaw and cut down. No matter which way it falls, it's going to hit the street or a wall or a structure, you know, at a big risk. That's got to be something that's got a controlled removal.
Yeah, you don't want to be one of those guys. You know, you don't want to be that guy who has that video on YouTube for, failed, tree removals. Stupid.
There are plenty of them to watch.
There are, and some of them are quite humorous. Some of them are quite tragic. You know, there are some tree removals that, you know, went sideways and literally went sideways where trees didn't fall the direction you wanted them to, and they end up on the house.
Well, I've even heard, I've never seen it, but a big enough tree as it's falling down, if it's heavy enough, it can split and send part of the tree backwards. So if you're standing behind it thinking you're safe because it's falling the other way, it could split halfway down and send part of the splinters back. And, you know.
Yeah, they call that barber chairing. And yeah, there's a lot of risk in larger trees. Barber chair.
Okay.
It creates a barber chair. It's sort of the structure on the trunk that remains after a tree is fractured and broken apart on falling, leaves this barber chair looking chunk of wood, and it's really, really dangerous. It can actually, you know, come back and hit the chainsaw operator. So yeah, look up barber chair and you'll find that some examples of that online. But yeah, you're advised, you know, just to be careful if you are doing. I've got a big dead branch hanging over my driveway that I want to cut down, and I was thinking I don't need to call out one of our crews to do that work. I can do that myself, but it is going to require an extension ladder and a chainsaw. But I'll have to have my PPE on and my climbing saddle so I can be tied into the tree so I can do it safely. I don't want to be one of those weekend warriors that, wouldn't that be nice to have an article in the paper, arborist, you know, falls out of tree. You know, I don't want to be that guy. And no, you just need to know your limits. And as I'm getting older too, I need to realize that, you know, it's a young man's game, a young woman's game. And I don't want to be exceeding my own personal limitations and doing crazy stuff I could have done when I was 20 or 30, and definitely not cutting corners with safety. We always wear our personal protective equipment and proper, use proper equipment.
I have not seen any of this type of heavy equipment here in Arizona, but I have a cousin who's an arborist in Mississippi, and occasionally he'll send me videos, and there's this boom track, you know, picture of what you would think a scoop tractor would be, but it's got a chipper on the end. They just move over to the top of the tree, turn it on, and in about 25 seconds, you know, a second a foot, they'll just completely chip the tree to the ground, and then all you have to do is your stump removal.
Yeah, there's some new technologies for tree removal and that are really changing the industry, and it's making it safer. It will eliminate a few jobs for some of the ground workers because, you know, it can be a one-man operation. They have these big grapple trucks that can grab a tree at 40 feet off the ground, and there's a chainsaw blade connected with that that attachment that can actually cut the top out of the tree while they're holding on to it and bring that whole top of the tree down to the ground and actually feed it into the chipper. All one operator.
Wow.
Amazing.
All one operator that can afford a $1 million machinery. Yeah. Your infrastructure costs on something like that is quite extensive.
And your return on investment, too.
Wow. Yeah, well, that's just it. Yeah, you can make those payments if you're doing six or seven jobs that might have taken you a day to do just one in the past. So, yeah, it's a new technology. And
I haven't seen one that would work on a big bushy mesquite, though. Multi-branch trunk. I'm not sure that would quite work on some of our native deserts. But at the point you do, I mean, that is tree removal service. Y'all have done a number of palm trees for us before. You know, they're huge, they're heavy. And what would take us weeks to section out and quarter up and chop up, you know, y'all bring the crane out, you have the dumpster on site, you cut it in sections, crane into the dumpster, and in a matter of a couple hours, the project's done.
Yeah, we have some really skilled workers, and yeah, we try to utilize all the tools we can to make the job not just faster and easier, but safer. And you know, if we can keep a climber out of a tree and use a crane to lift a big piece of wood out, it just saves a lot of time, but also just saves the climber having to be up there rigging that down. We do a lot of technical rigging as well. There are places where we don't have crane access. So we do a lot of the chainsaw work as well with the technical rigging.
And technical rigging isn't just something that's for tree removal. It could be for a big pruning job as well.
Yeah, lowering branches down safely. Yep, we have.
And that is the one last thing we have not covered yet. We'll talk about pruning your deciduous trees in our final segment. But before we go there, I've been shuffling through my
trivia.
My trivia cards that I recently got. This one might just stump John Eisenhower. In 2019, a bald cypress tree, over 2,600 years old, was found living in the Black River Preserve in North Carolina. True or false?
It's very much true.
I only said that because at the bottom it said, question submitted by John Eisenhower, Phoenix, Arizona.
And you're the one who sent that article to me.